So we are continuing on a couple of journeys. As you can see up there, the title of the message is Community, Church Community Fathers. I want to start out by asking you some honest questions. I'm not looking for people to say anything. I'm not looking for people to raise their hand. I'm not looking for anything. I find it interesting. I don't know, has anybody ever heard of Pew Research? Well, the people, 20 years ago, people were committed if they went to church 3.5 times a month. Now it's 1.4. It's a pretty serious drop. So I've got some questions for you. And again, it's I don't want to see your hands. I don't want to hear your answers. The purpose of these questions is I want you to honestly think about where you are. How do you see church attendance? Really don't see the purpose, but I go because I have to. My spouse has threatened me. My kids have threatened me. My parents have threatened me. I go when I can, as long as there's nothing else going on. But if there's anything going on, like a sale at the mall or something like that, I want to go to church. I really do. But, you know, there's some days I wake up and I'm just not motivated. It's just not there. To be honest with you, Pastor, because of past experiences that I've had, I just don't trust church. I don't trust leaders. I don't trust Christians. They're just hypocrites. You know, people have said that to me in the past, you know, church is full of hypocrites, and my response is always, come on in, there's always room for one more. It usually brings a laugh. But it's the truth. I mean, yeah, we're all hypocrites. We're all just running the race set before us. None of us have attained unto perfection. That's the beauty of Christianity. We don't have to, as Terry was talking about earlier, we don't have to meet, okay, today, as I lay my head down, I met every command. You know, remember the rich young ruler? Well, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. In other words, I've met every command. I've done all I'm supposed to. Well, go sell all you have, give it to the poor and follow me. It wasn't about selling the money. It was about his heart. I go to church so I can learn how to help build the universal church, the local church. I go because I want to be used by God to help others grow in their relationship with our Lord and Savior. And there's probably other reasons. But the truth of the matter is, I think at times that what makes God's church appear weak is that sometimes we think it's all about us, and it's all about us just going to receive. Just my opinion. That and $2, well, I don't even know. Will $2 get you a cup of coffee anymore, Shannon? Okay, $3? Okay, that and $3. Inflation. It's everywhere. Unless you want an eggnog latte, which you can't get anymore, they're a little more than $3. But you know, that's my opinion. But I think there's some validity to it. But the truth of the matter is, we are all greatly needed if the church is to walk in all God has for it. That includes the church, the local church, Christian Fellowship, Jeff City, whoever, and the church universal. See, my last two teachings, which were on December 8th, talked about the church, and then last week I talked about salvation. They flow right into what I'm talking about this week. the 30 points that make up a church, 30 plus points that make up a church. The value of attending a spirit-filled, God-ordained, spirit-led church. There are at least 30 plus things, benefits that we gain. Concerning salvation, that kind of like what Terry was talking about earlier, that we want to see people repent. Follow Jesus. Make him Lord. So, I don't know about you, but when I look at things and I study things and I read things, myriads of questions go through my mind. And the question is, how is that done? How do you build the church that God wants built? Are we doing things right? Are there things that we need to twist or tweak a little bit? Are there things we need to change? Are there things? Well, the obvious answer is yes, there are to all those. Because we haven't arrived yet. But I do know this. All. How do you define the word all? The Greek word for all is all, everyone. All must be involved. All need to be involved. That's what makes up the local church. All these parts, you know, you can read the different scriptures about the body. You know, you got the ears, you got the nose, you got the mouth, you got the little toe. They're all important. I was part of a group at one point in time where the saying was, what I'm a part of is more important than part I play. And I, my rebellious spirit kind of raised up and I said, no, it should be what we're a part of is more important than the part we play, but the part we play is also extremely important and makes up what we're part of. No condemnation, but we only reach our full potential when all are walking in everything God has and we're doing and we're involved. All need to be involved. And as we all work together to keep each other alert, going back to what Christian was talking about a couple weeks ago. So I'm going to read a scripture. 1 Corinthians 4:15, I'm going to read it from three different versions. My favorite version is the last one. But listen to this, out of the ESV. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I have become your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. In the New Living Translation, it says, for even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you have only one spiritual father, for I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you. And in my favorite, the Passion Bible, for although you could have countless babysitters in Christ. Do you hear that word? Babysitters in Christ. Telling you what you're doing wrong, you don't have many fathers who correct you in love. But I'm a true father to you, for I became your father when I gave you the gospel and brought you into union with Jesus, the anointed one. When I say the word father, I use the word father because that's what's in the Bible, and I believe the Bible. But it applies to women, men and women, fathers and mothers. We need fathers and mothers in the faith. If you go into Timothy, it talks about it. About both of them, gives you some things about what fathers and mothers should do. We're probably going to get in that later down the road, not today. But see, this scripture I just read was the scripture that was read and we talked about the first day of the round table that I went in the first week of December in Dover, Delaware. And out of that followed about 28 hours of discussion. And as I said before, and I'll say it again, the conference had a significant impact on me and on the direction of this church and to be quite frank and honest, ultimately on you too. So what am I talking about? Let me put it this way. I was convicted by Holy Spirit. I was convicted about our vision, about my vision. Okay? I even went and looked at, which I'll mention in a second, our vision statement, our mission statement, our cultural statement that's on our website, and I'm sure everybody here has looked at those. The vision being simple, to move in God. We want to follow the Spirit. We want to move in God. The mission is, we are a family of believers endeavoring to move in God by worshiping the Father, centering on Jesus, and following the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to walk in His love and grace while developing the relationships He has given us within the church and the community where God has placed us. That's pretty cool, right? Cultural statement. We strive to develop and maintain a culture of love, edification, encouragement, building up, strengthening, taking care of each other, unity, relationships, family, and community, all based upon the triune God and His holy word. It's good. They're true. But the question that crosses my mind, especially after going to the round table I went to, but do they totally express who God wants us to be? You know, again, I'm still unpacking all this, and hopefully you are and will be as we go along, putting on your Berean hats, digging into it, looking into scriptures, and that together as a body, we're going to end up where God wants us to. And I just want you to know at the same time, God has said to me over and over, He's pleased with where we are, where we've been going, but it's time for an adjustment. See, I have a vision for both the local church and the universal church. God made it very clear to Chris and I when it came down here through prophetic words. Some people, I don't know that I'd call them a prophet, but I would have no problem saying they have a definite prophetic bent. That we were coming down here to start a church that was going to be involved in the community and encouraging other local churches. See, here's the problem I have with our vision statement, with our mission, and with culture. When you read it, it covers one generation. It talks about us, who we are today. The vision, the mission, and culture statement. That's what they do. And they talk about, by and large, at least what was in my heart, maybe yours too, but there's more. They don't completely address who God has called us to be. And we're going to be tweaking them a bit, Terry and I, the board, to align with this transition that God has us on, to these steps where He's taken us in a different direction. And somebody was asking me about this transition, if they needed to put seatbelts on because it was going to be such a radical turn. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an adjustment. We've been going in the direction God wants us to go. Now it's time for a little bit of transition, a little bit of adjustment. Have changed. I'll be honest with you. At some point in time, I'm going to leave this church. I don't know if it's in 5 years, 20 years. I don't know. I don't care because God will let me know. But the other thing I know is when it comes time for me to leave, God will bring another person along to pass off the baton to that will be able to take the church farther than I have. I will. And I can. See, our vision to this point in time has been good, but now it's being transitioned. It's being adjusted. here's where I fell down. I really didn't have a vision for spiritual grandchildren. What am I talking about? Yeah, it was kind of in the back of my mind that, yeah, this church here as it is today, and yeah, we wanted to go beyond us. We want to raise up the kids in this church. We want to bring people in, young people and so forth. So it's kind of in the back of my mind. But most of what I did and have done and what we've done has been about this, taking care of this. Well, I think what God is wanting us to do, expand our vision to where we start thinking in terms of the next generation and the next generation. And he's going to show us how to do that as we unpack this thing together. The truth is, as I read in 1 Corinthians 4:15, we have countless guides. We have countless teachers. We probably have more babysitters than we need. But do we really have enough fathers and mothers? People who, as the Great Commission says, go and disciple all nations. Now, that word disciple, I understand, can be a very negative word. So can the word church. You know, because people don't really understand what it is. I mean, all of us here know it's not this crazy building. I thank God for this building. It wasn't what I prayed for. It's what God gave us, and it's been glorious. But we are the church. Look at the person next to you and say, you're the church. You're the church. Look to the person to the other side of you and say, you're the church. Turn around if you have to. Because we are. That's who it is. We, the people, are the church. And we want to be like Paul, who shares the gospel. Now, what's the first thing that crosses your mind when you talk about sharing the gospel? Oh, Gary's going to ask me to show up on Saturday morning and go knock on doors. Well, if you want to do that, fine, but I won't be there. Right, Lord? I will if he wants me to, but that's not what I'm talking about. But we need also people that will care for us, that will mentor us, that will disciple us, with the whole purpose of not controlling us, but the purpose being to help us to grow into Christ so we can be fathers and mothers for the next generation. That's what we need. So we're going to make some adjustments. We're going to make some transitions to help us all walk into being successful fathers and mothers. And part of that transition is we're going to get more people from the outside involved in our lives. That's why we're having Kevin come next Saturday, Sunday. That's why this thing that's going to go on at the end of March and other things. See, I personally need to be about equipping folks to be fathers and mothers. That's Terry's and I's main job. So we're going to be making some adjustments so I get away from doing a lot of the stuff I do so I can do what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's not that it's beneath me. It's just that I need to be doing what God wants me to be doing, and you all need to be doing what God needs you to be doing. And I want to make this very clear. If there's fault, if there's blame, and I don't really believe there is, I just think God's transitioning us, then the fault and blame is right here. As the great president from the state of Missouri, Truman, what was his first name? Harry S. Truman said, the buck stops here. The buck stops here. Okay? But I need to be equipping folks to be fathers and mothers so that they can raise sons and daughters to be fathers and mothers. And so that those that they raise that become fathers and mothers can raise sons and daughters to be fathers and mothers. That's the third generation. It's not about today. Three generations. Spiritual children, spiritual grandchildren. See, that's why my vision, your vision, the church's vision need to reflect that. And again, I want to make this crystal clear. Each person in this room and those that aren't here today, those that are downstairs, those that are next door, each person has a valuable part to play, a significant part to play in building what God is doing here, but not only in what God is doing here, in building the kingdom of God as it resides in Jeff City and beyond. All of you, all of you are called and have been equipped and have been anointed to be spiritual fathers and mothers. Every one of you. Don't laugh. It's true. And here's the kicker. It's not just the people in this place. It's the people in the kingdom of God. Not for the purpose of getting them to come here. No, 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 no. Dan Cole goes to a home group up in Fulton. Chris and I have been there 2, 3, 4 times, whatever it is, and we'll continue to pop in from time to time. But there's probably 4 or 5 churches represented there. I don't think there's anybody in that group that goes to church where he goes, right? There might be. But his goal is not to get those people to leave their church to go to the church where he wants them to go. His goal is to encourage them and help them to grow in the kingdom of God, to become fathers and mothers in the faith. It's not about competition. I'm sick of competition between the churches. I want to puke, excuse me, but I do. It just tears my heart out, and I know it tears God's heart out. It's simply about building the kingdom of God here, but everywhere. And my goal, my dream, my vision, my heart is that every person that walks through those doors, that they understand that they have the ability to be fathers and mothers, that they have come to a place where they have a purpose to help build this family in the kingdom, to where they understand that the discernment and what they have is valuable. Now, sometimes it's going to be iron sharpening iron. And sometimes we may have to say, no, that's not scriptural. But that's how we grow. That's how we mature. That's how we walk through the sanctification process so we can become more and more like Christ. See, the truth of the matter is, all the people that God has for us are not just wanted, they're needed. If I sat down with a list, I can probably come up with about 50 or 60 things that people could be doing. They're needed. They're needed to learn how to be fathers and mothers so that they can become fathers and mothers, so they can take on sons and daughters and raise them to be fathers and mothers, the third generation. See, it's all through relationship, which I think we have a good understanding of. It's about family. It's about relationship, about taking care of each other. It's about that wonderful verse that says we're to think more highly of others than we do of ourselves. It's about giving your coat and your cloak. It's about turning the other cheek. It's about going the extra mile. All those scriptures that can be hard to digest at times. Because if you're like me, sometimes you just want to get even. See, that's all of this is a big reason why we're starting these home groups. And we're starting them with people that have been around the block a time or two. They have gone through some difficult times. Maybe even going through some difficult times. But I know them to be faithful to God even during hard times. And I know they have a spiritual depth. Who have also been natural fathers and mothers, but most importantly to me, they desire to see folks mature into a place where they can help grow other folks into maturity with God, into all that God has for them. In other words, they've got a heart to help me father you so that you can father others. To father those that are going to walk through their door. I don't know when they're going to start walking through their door, but we've had so many prophetic words. I've joked with Pat Bryson about stoning him, okay? Which, he's a New Testament prophet, so I'm not going to do that. That's why every one of us, no exceptions here, folks, needs to be involved in a home group. So what are fathers and mothers? Glad you asked that. I tell you, these are exciting days. These days of transition and the days of preparation for all that God has for us. And again, everyone here is needed to help facilitate it. You're important. You're God's favorite. Because we need fathers and mothers in every ministry that we have or will ever have in the future. People who are mature enough to walk with others. That doesn't mean you're a Bible scholar. I'm not a Bible scholar. I contact people like Terry and Christian and others that have a much better handle on the Bible than I do. My strength, I believe, is I got a good handle on the overall purpose of the Bible and what it wants to do with the love and the grace and the mercy, the joy of the Lord and the peace. But all of us are mature enough to help do that. As well as creating this atmosphere, making this transition so that we can have a vision for three generations. I mean, you think about Kingdom Kids or nursery or youth or worship or teaching or small group leaders or young adults or servants of every type or hospitality or just whatever, worship. Cleaning in this building. I mean, think about it. There's always room for help there. Cutting the grass when it comes to cutting. I mean, think about it. If you were out looking for a church and you were visiting a church, wanted to visit a church and you pulled up and the grass was long and you walked in and the bathrooms were dirty, would you even go into the sanctuary? I wouldn't. Because what it's saying to me is, I don't care about you. So what are fathers? I think I asked that question. Let's look at the Greek. The vast majority of the word father, little f, means to beget, to procreate, to be the father of. For father, big F, Father God, the Greek means a special title for God, one who combines aspects of supernatural authority and care for his people. Together, they are used over 450 times in the New Testament, probably 1,000 times in the Old Testament. Spiritually speaking, fathers are to emulate, fathers, little f, are to emulate the father, capital F. And when I say that again, I'm talking about both male and female. because we want to make make sure we have an atmosphere where men aren't discipling women and women aren't discipling men. Now, there can be exceptions. I understand that. But for the most part, we just don't want to do that. But we want to be instrumental in helping sons and daughters, okay, walk into authority. Walk into the authority. Do you realize that each one of you here in Christ has authority? Do you use that authority to the fullest? We won't answer that. But and to grow in learning to care for the following generation. So what are fathers, mothers? Well, we'll get that in a couple weeks. A little more. But now, we're going to pray.